Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you for listening this weekend here on Exploring Missions. We are really having a great time at the National Religious Broadcasters Meeting. That's where this is being recorded. And here, Nathan, we get to meet all kinds of people. And sometimes I've met them and I'll walk off and you'll come and say, "We need to interview them." And this is one of those times, Nathan. Thank you for being alert.
Well, it's here's the deal, So we're speaking today with Tyler Childs. He's with Youth with a Mission, and his base, if you will, is YWAM Kona. Now, I'm going to introduce Tyler officially here in a second, but let me just say, a few years ago, my wife Rachel and I had our 20th wedding anniversary, and to celebrate, we went to Kona in Hawaii, the Big Island. So that was the part that actually got my attention, was, oh, Kona, I've been there. They have really great coffee and great beaches, and it's a wonderful place. If you do have the privilege of visiting Hawaii, make the trip over to the Big Island and experience that. But
God uses all things, Nathan.
That's right. Absolutely. We say that adventure, having a sense of adventure, is not the only motivation for missions, but God can give you that sense of adventure. That's a part of the motivation you might have for missions. And our guest is Tyler Childs with YWAM Kona. Tyler, thank you for making the long trip all the way from Hawaii, the Big Island, all the way to Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for inviting me over.
When we invite people, sometimes Nathan and I'll try to do a little bit show prep and talking what direction do we want to go. And we've got so many directions on this one that we may cover. We're going to try to cover them all. But tell us a little bit, those that don't know, Youth with a Mission. I've heard about it,
yep.
Know about it, but there are some that have not.
That's true. So Youth with a Mission, or YWAM as people call it, has been around since 1960. It was developed by Lauren and Darlene Cunningham. Lauren went to be with the Lord a few years ago, but it was developed with the idea of saying there's a zeal and an energy that is untapped in young people. And he said, "My heart is to send people to the unreached people groups, to the uncharted territory, to take that zeal and send it out." And so that's kind of how YWAM was born. It was, let's move beyond missionaries being your stereotypical retired pastors, which is awesome, but saying there's a group of young people, let's tap that zeal. And so now moving forward to today, YWAM is a decentralized organization. We have somewhere between 1,500 to 2,000 campuses around the globe. We're in over 170 nations, and so it is one of the largest youth movements in the world. And the reason people would say, "Oh, how on earth do you not know how many campuses you have?" Well, we're decentralized because when you have a ministry that large, having a central organization can get dangerous legally, as well as we're in a lot of closed nations. And so allowing these different ministries to have their independence is important. So sometimes you'll have someone attend a ministry with us and then they feel a burning passion and you find out that they're running a discipleship training school in a tent in the middle of Mongolia and have been for 10 years. So that's something that's common you'll find. But yeah, that's kind of the thing. And the big bread and butter ministry of YWAM was the DTS, the Discipleship Training School. That's what set YWAM apart. Was they said, "Well, we're going to create a 6-month training program, 12 weeks where you're learning how to know God, and then 12 weeks where you're learning how to make him known." And so those 12 weeks include hearing the Lord's voice, biblical worldview, biblical and ethical relationships, identity, Father heart, understanding the Father heart of God. And so there's all sorts of great topics that we go through, and it's in a live, learn environment. And then what happens is after students finish that 12 weeks, they're sent out in mission where they're now engaging in evangelism in China, in Brazil, Africa, you name it. We are all over the globe serving. So,
yeah, there's so much there to launch from. I will just make the comment that, you know, when Lauren Cunningham and his wife Darlene, they founded YWAM. The idea you mentioned was utilizing that zeal of young people. But then the first thing you do is take them through DTS, the Discipleship Training School, which adds that knowledge. So it's not zeal without knowledge. It's going to be zeal with knowledge. And what God can do that is already shown in just the fruit. But two things, you know, we study about missions history sometimes. We talk about that here on this program from time to time. And two things are always, as far as I know, every missions movement there has been includes at least two things. One is just fervent prayer, just over the top praying, just a prayer movement that comes from that burden that God puts on people's hearts. So prayer, lots of prayer, but also young people, students. I mean, that's where it begins, and it could grow from that and become more than that, but they all begin with that. What are the age groups of the people in the base that you serve, YOM Kona? What's kind of the typical age point? And I know it doesn't have to be all just a certain age of young people. You can be young at heart, I guess, if you will. But what are you seeing as far as that?
So we consider ourselves as a ministry. We are multi-generational. We are interdenominational and international. And so on average, students that come through to do a DTS or discipleship training school, they're about 18 to 25 years old. You get a lot of students that come through to do a gap year. And so they'll come say, hey, we'll come spend 6 months with you, which is what I did. I spent 6 months doing a gap year program, learning just how to pursue the Lord and hear his voice and read the word and understand biblical foundations. And then I went on to university after that. So we do have that program, but our discipleship training schools, we've got a whole variety of them. So like I was mentioning to you guys, even off air, we have this new creative school, but there's these other programs, including one called Crossroads. It's for folks that are entering retirement, that are changing jobs. My dad did a DTS in his late 50s with a group of 18-year-olds. We have family DTSs. My family did one later during the pandemic. We did a discipleship training school with a family of five, with our three little ones. So you have all sorts of different programs where you've got age groups from all demographics. Now, primarily it is 18 to 25 because we are youth with a mission. And so that is our biggest schools are 18 to 25-year-olds. But as students are praying, I mean, even in my new school, Kingdom Creatives, launching this fall, we've got people that are in their 30s applying, going, hey, I know it says 18 to 25, but would you pray? Absolutely. That's one of our foremost visions here at YWAM, is we pray about what, like, it is so important to know what the Lord is speaking in that. And so we pray through every single application. It's not just, great, we've got a ton of people applying, let's just accept them all. No, we pray through every application.
When you are probably talking to someone that may be in that age group, but a lot of them that have children and grandchildren in that age group, and they know they love the Lord, but it's kind of not directed, because young people, and I'm halfway still that way, I have to overcome it, looking in so many different directions to overcome. That's me. How do they get in touch with YWAM to say, find out about what you do, the schools and everything, a website or how you do it? Tell us a little bit about
that. There's a few different options. So if someone wants to go figure out the global vision of YWAM, you can go to YWAM.org. That is the global ministry page. I know I said we're decentralized. That's about the only centralization we have, is that website. And so it's a database of all of the YWAM campuses, the different schools that are happening. So let's say someone says, man, I really have a heart for Mongolia. They go in on that website and they can type in Mongolia and say, oh, look, there's this campus is here. Or, you know, they can type in and look up whatever the Lord's speaking to them. Now, for our campus specifically in YWAM Kona, it'd be YWAMKona.org. You go on there and you click Discipleship Training School, because we have all sorts of other, if you flip that paper around, we have all sorts of other programs that we offer on the campus, from acting schools to apologetic schools to Bible schools, a film school, all the above. And so part of that is a DTS is a prerequisite to attend any of those other schools, because YWAM offers the University of the Nations. That's YWAM's educational arm and training arm. And so if someone were to go to YWAMKona.org, you'd look at DTSs first and attend that and then move on beyond. And you could go, maybe I'm going to go do an acting school, or maybe I'm going to go do there's SBS, the School of Biblical Studies, is one of the premier Bible schools running in the world. I just saw that the SBS running in Kona just got a 500-year-old scroll that they were translating. If someone brought it over from Poland, and they were translating it as a Hebrew, written in Hebrew, and they literally were going through and translating it and learning truly what the Word of God, tangibly touching it, saying this is something that the students don't get an opportunity to do often.
That's awesome. So we talked about the founding of YWAM by Lauren and Darlene Cunningham, and just speaking personally for me, one of the most powerful books that I have read that has been helpful for my life. You also, Tyler, you also talked about just prayer and discerning what God is saying and hearing God's voice. So Lauren Cunningham wrote a book several years ago, and it's called, Is That Really You, God? With a question mark. But how many times have we asked that question? In our prayers, I have asked that question many, many times. Is that really you, God? Are you speaking to me about this? Or am I hearing you correctly? What are you asking me to do? How are you directing and guiding me? What are my next steps? It's a really great resource. But it also tells YWAM's story and how they began. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as just a resource for you.
You know, attached to that, just to interject as well. So Is That Really You, God? It was the first book that every DTS student reads that book, because it is the story of YWAM, but it's a story of radical obedience, because Lauren was offered to go to Ivy League schools, being paid for by family members, and the Lord called them to the mission field. And back then in the 60s, him saying young people could be missionaries was like saying something so radical. Different denominations, and it's in the book, different denominations were going, we can't get behind you. If you're doing this, these guys got to go through seminary. They've got to have this. They've got to have some pastoring experience. And he's going, we can still do biblical discipleship. So there's another half of that story. So his wife, Darlene, wrote a book called Values Matter. And that's actually her perspective.
Okay.
So the 18 values of YWAM, but it's from her perspective of the mission being birthed. And it's really fun hearing her heart, where she was a pastor's kid, hearing the stories about this young man named Lauren Cunningham that's getting ready to change the world. And she's hearing it from her perspective. And it's them, her as a mom with their kids and them growing. And so it was just, it's a really awesome follow-up read called Values Matter.
I couldn't help but think about what you were saying about him could go to Ivy League school and everything. I couldn't help but think about Jim Elliot. When he went to the mission field, they said, why are you wasting your life out there when you could be in America preaching and sharing God's word? And in his obedience, more missionaries got on board. Yeah, they thought it would make people turn away, but instead those five guys turned it on. Look what God can do.
Yeah.
And I hear that same thought.
Yeah.
With the Cunninghams.
Yeah.
Look what God can do.
Amen.
So, Tyler, there at YWAM Kona, there's a school that you've talked about that, and I'm not sure if it has started or about to begin, but I want you to tell us about kind of your passion and maybe the way that God has shaped you and gifted you, and you have a lot of experience in this realm, but tell us what Kingdom Creatives is about.
Sure. So just kind of give you some background, like you're saying. So I did a DTS 15 years ago. And sitting through the DTS, the discipleship training school is geared towards missions. And it's important. It's laying a solid foundation biblically. But I remember sitting there 15 years ago in Kona as a creative going, how does this apply to me? I love this. I love the heart for the unreached. And I just kept, something was beating my heart going, but Hollywood's unreached too. But the entertainment world's unreached. I love making movies. I was making movies in Colorado, where I'm originally from. My high school, we were making short films. I was engaging in culture and creativity and entertainment. And I'm going, this is an amazing school, but I wish I could have it tailored a little bit more. Like some of the DTSs have media tracks, which are really cool. But as a creative, I'm going 1 to 2 hours a week wasn't scratching that itch. And so when I left YWAM, because I did my 6-month school, I left and I went, okay, I felt like the Lord called me into the arts and entertainment world. Prayed about it. Felt like I wasn't supposed to go through their other upper level programs. I was supposed to leave. And so I left and I went into the film and TV world. Now, being from Colorado, I found myself in Colorado Springs. And you name a nonprofit down there, I probably produced something with them or worked on something with them. So I'm sure you have many running through your head. Yes, we did work on something with them. Including John Bevere was a client of mine, and his sons are friends of mine. But then I ended up producing a TV series with National Geographic there in Colorado Springs. And that just took my career to another level. And I started working on feature films, worked at a mega church for several years, coming in going, all right, where are we? Where do we want to go and how do we get there? And start building skill sets within ministries and churches saying, how do we better equip the body creatively? And so a few years ago when the pandemic hit, my wife was like, hey, there's not much happening in the creative world. Why don't we go do a DTS? You said how much it changed your life as a young one. Let's go do it together. And I said, no. I am at the top of my career, love. I don't need to go do a missions trip again. I'm good. And my wife's so gracious. She's like, babe, you currently don't have a career. Everything is shut down. And she loved the wisdom of wives. So we did this discipleship training school as a family together and just said, all right, Lord, what do you have? And in that, the Lord just ignited my heart in terms of discipleship for the creatives, because I was doing it, which ironically, one of our values in YWAM is do first, then teach. And so one of the things that I was doing, and now the Lord is starting to call me to teach So long story short, we ended up in Kona, Hawaii. We met with Darlene Cunningham and a few of the other key leaders, sat down and said, here's our heart. And they said, we love it. We would love to just pray about building this pathway for young creatives into the mission field. Because yes, we do have creatives come through our traditional DTSs, but focused DTSs have something special. Because if we're talking about truly engaging in the spheres of society, engaging in arts and entertainment is essential, and we need a doorway for students to come in and go out. And so that's kind of where this Kingdom Creatives came from. I've been on the campus working with lots of different creatives. And as someone, as a creative, I started praying through, okay, we have this DTS curriculum, but it is a very well-known, it has been tried through and through around the globe. And it is done so well. And I said, so how do we frame this for a creative? Well, step one, started looking at one of the weeks is identity. And I started talking to some of my friends who have had shows in Vegas, have won America's Got Talent, some of these big name folks, and said, what if we did a week called Identity in the Spotlight? And instead of Identity Week, it was, where's your identity when there's 100 cameras on you? Where's your identity when you're holding an Oscar? Where's your identity when $1 million is on the line and all of America is watching? Where's your identity now? Wow. And we're like, okay, so we just raised the stakes a little bit. And then we looked, and there's another, we're talking about doing a spiritual warfare week, which is normal in DTS. And we were talking to a podcast that teaches on spiritual warfare. And we said, what if we built you a podcast stage for that week? And you did spiritual warfare as podcasters. And you started showing our students how creatives can engage in the Christian world and how the body of Christ can engage in the entertainment world. And so we started kind of building this idea, not changing the DTS curriculum, but just framing it and doing DTS in a creative dialogue. And so officially, after months and months of building and working with the staff, we're officially launching the school in September 2026. And applications are open on yomkona.org. And the applications are pouring in. We're getting students who are submitting video stories, because part of the application is, we said, hey, send us a story. Send us your story, and it has to be a video and audio component. And we're getting people who are going, I did not know I could marry my faith with my creative arts without having to be making evangelistic projects. Because that's one thing that a lot of times these folks are saying, oh, I have to make an evangelistic project. I'm going, nope, your papa in heaven is proud of you because you're creating. Now, there are guidelines that come straight out of the Word of God. But if you're creating, then create, just create. And out of that overflow, man, the Holy Spirit's going to do something new. And so this new school, we are so excited to announce that we're doing that. And students will be able to meet Jesus in their creativity and allow other people to meet Jesus through their creativity.
You know, when I hear that, I can't help but remember, basically, the arts and creativity. When you look at the Middle Ages, the Reformation, Renaissance,
yep,
the Christians were a lot of the forerunners.
They were.
And Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yep.
And that's what he did a lot with, sure, creativity and arts. Sure. Isn't it?
So honestly, one of the things that happened, and I've been studying the history on this, and I've actually printed about writing a book on this a little bit. I've got another book that, you know, we can talk about in a minute. But one of the ideas I've been thinking about for another book is, what happens to the church and the arts? When did the church stop supporting the arts? And when did the arts stop supporting the church? Because if we look throughout history, one of the things that I was able to come up with, and this is just on a quick history look, was when the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church had this really big divide, Catholicism took the arts,
yes,
and the Protestant went, okay, it's colorful, therefore we think this could be idolatrous, and they went as plain as they could, and there was this, okay, Catholicism has the arts and has the beautiful cathedrals and the murals and the stained glass. But then you look at the Protestant churches and it was like, nope, that's too close to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things you can at least put a finger on and go, okay, I see something here, and that people are sensitive to that subject. And so that's kind of something that we're addressing even in the school, of going, hey, how do we support the church, yeah, better?
So it does sound like this is, I mean, lines up with your passion,
yeah,
and probably how God has shaped you. I do have a suggestion. So kingdomcreatives.org, could you also, like a subheading or another name is like, you know, Christians with ADHD or something like that? Is that common to a creative person many times struggles with ADHD?
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny. My buddy's raising his hand behind the monitor, is because that honestly, I love it. I even in the student applications we're getting, I'm getting, people are putting in their weaknesses, and it breaks my heart. It says in the application, it says, do you have any weaknesses? And they say, oh, I have ADHD. And I'm like, or I have ADD. I'm like, that's not a weakness.
No.
We're going to get in a dream session where we're going to sit in a creative room, and like, we pull the cap off of that thing, and dreams just start flowing.
Yeah.
Because their mind is like, this, okay, lightning bolt here, train crash here. And you're like, this is untapped. And I think that that's something that for a long time, the school system, the education system, the church has tried to can that and bottle that up and go, nope, has to look structured this way. And honestly, if we look at the U.S. Board of Education and you look at how it was founded, it literally, there's a quote you can look back and it says, the U.S. Board of Education was founded to create a nation of doers, not thinkers.
Mm.
And if we're looking at education modern day, it's not encouraging dreams. It's not encouraging people to take the cap off and just go dream. And that's honestly, when we think about people with ADD or ADHD, that they feel the sense of shame sometimes. And it's like, no, this is so important as a creative. Dream with the Lord. And that, like, again, and it's funny how the Lord works, but that's part of my heart. And I wrote a book on just dreaming with the Lord, saying, if no one has given you permission to dream yet, I'm telling you, do. Just start dreaming. God has given you a creative gift. Dream. Therefore, go.
So I do want you to follow that up about your book. But just to comment is, how much do we need young people on the mission field? How much do we need creative people serving, living on mission, using what God has given them to do on the mission field? How much do we need ADHD people
on
the mission field?
Come on, no.
They're even in the pulpits.
That's true. That's true.
God's kingdom is a big kingdom.
Yeah.
And the task remaining is very big. And so there are people that have been sidelined, and the task would be much, I think, further along if we, as a church, as a society, as a people, didn't put those caps on the bottles of people ready to be just spilled out for the Lord.
It's true.
Tell us about your book.
Okay.
It's about dreaming, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few years ago, I wrote a book called Awaken, O Dreamer. The Lord just put it on my heart. I was teaching in Mazatlan, Mexico with a YWAM campus down there. And the Lord had been stirring in my heart for years. I never thought I would write a book. I thought I was, I'm just going to make movies. And then the Lord's like, you're going to make movies and be in missions. I'm like, okay, make movie missions. And the Lord's like, now you're going to write a book. And I was like, okay, how are we going to do that, Lord? And I sat down, and to be honest, I remember it was at a creative conference, and the Lord just started giving me these downloads of saying, I'm ready for my people to start dreaming with me again without boundaries. I just want them to dream with me again, because dreams are not, like, are being told. Sometimes your dreams don't have value because they don't provide finances, or they're just a hobby. Yeah. And so I started dreaming with the Lord, and ironically, I sat down, I started praying, and the Lord gave me the table of contents. And I just said, okay, where are we going from there? Like, table of contents. Lord said, you can hear the voice of God. You're born to dream. Excellence in Christianity. A fresh creative awakening. Where do I fit in that? Creating for his glory. Creating space for him. And then the balance. And then too long, didn't read, is the chapters. The summary of the whole book. And it was just this, okay, Lord, what do we do with this? And the Lord started walking me through something I had been teaching and had been in my heart for years. And I've been teaching it from the pulpit. I've been teaching it on podcasts. And all of a sudden we started saying, okay, what does it look like to co-create with the Holy Spirit? So oftentimes you hear about people partnering with the Lord's provision, with his protection, with him as our shepherd, him as our banner, right? We talk about Jehovah and all the other descriptors. But when was the last time we talked about partnering with the Lord, our maker, Jehovah Hosanu? And if that's the very first descriptor given in the very beginning, why are we not partnering with that attribute more? And that's the heart behind this book of saying, the Lord, our maker, wants to partner with us in our day in, our day out, whether you're a mechanic, a plumber, a filmmaker, a father, a mom, dad, whatever that looks like. Jehovah Hosanu has a voice in that. And that attribute, if you were created in his identity, therefore you have that in you to make.
Absolutely.
And the Great Commission is even a part of that, is therefore go and make disciples. Yes. So I think that's part of where this book came from. It's called Awaken Our Dreamer.
That's beautiful. I especially like that chapter at the end for ADHD people.
Yes.
If you didn't read the book, you couldn't make it through. You could just skip to the left.
True. That's true.
Get the summary.
You know, what I've heard here today, there are, every person is special. Every people group is special.
Absolutely.
But young people, God loves them.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul, when he was on his missionary journey, would select some of those young people. Timothy's the most famous, but those other guys probably were a lot older. When Jesus was choosing his apostles, according to the age of how long John lived and his brother and then cousins, probably all the same, young and creative, people with disabilities like hyperactivity.
Sure.
Just take the diss off of it, and it becomes the ability, right?
Yeah, it sure does. And so, man, this program is full of hope, Nathan.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Tyler,
yeah,
you talked about something important. you mentioned Genesis 1 and knowing God as creator. And in Genesis 1, we read and we learn that God created all people in his image.
Yep.
Somewhere a few years ago, I read and I made this connection. I was reading C.S. Lewis and made this connection of how part of being made in God's image, being created in God's image, includes imagination.
Yeah.
God has the ultimate imagination.
100%.
And even when he made the giraffe.
But he's true. Yeah. But he gave us imagination. I think it was Einstein that even said, imagination is more important than knowledge. I don't know how true that is, but it's important and it's something that's untapped.
It's true. You know, ironically, so when I get booked to teach, there's sometimes where I'll teach and I'll walk up and I can see it's a whole group and they'll go, okay, here's Mr. Creative coming up to teach us. None of us are creative in here. I'll be at like a keynote or something like that. And I'll go, all right, how many of you guys remember imagination classes that your parents gave you? And they all look at me. And I'm like, none of you guys had imagination classes? And they're like, what? I said, who taught you how to have imagination? This? No one. I said, you mean it's an inheritance from the Lord? You mean that no one had to teach you how to have an imagination? You just started dreaming with the Lord just right off the bat. And I said, do you realize how important that is? If you were inherited something as a child, no one has to teach my kids how to play princess and warriors. I didn't sit down as a creative going, all right, kids, you got to be ninjas and all that stuff. That was just something that they just started doing. They dream. And at some point in their life, they're being told, hey, pull that back, shape this up. This is different. And that's something I'm trying to, as a dad, trying to encourage my kids, like, you have permission to use your imagination, dream with the Lord, move forward in that. And so that's part of what we're doing.
So we've been speaking today with Tyler Childs with YWAM Kona. You can check out the website, ywamkona.org. If you want me to spell it out, it's ywamkona.org. Definitely check out that. Also, his kingdomcreatives.org website. Tyler, how can people connect with you other than the website and your book? Tell us where we can find your book and what it's called.
Awaken, O Dreamer is my book. You can find it on Amazon. Easiest way to connect with me is actually on social media, on Instagram, Tyler W. Childs, pretty simple. But yeah, I'm on Instagram and that's the easiest because there it's got a whole link tree that'll take you everywhere else. But Amazon for the book, Tyler W. Childs on Instagram.
Awesome. So no matter your age, stage in life, no matter if you are creative or not in your mind, maybe you have ADHD or maybe not. Maybe you're not neurodiverse and you're neurotypical. God made you and created you with a purpose. Part of that purpose is to live your life on mission for him. So we encourage you to do that. And hopefully you felt encouraged as you listened to us today here on Exploring Missions. Thank you so much for listening.